Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is the Ash'ar of Arif Billah Hazrat Iqtas Hazrat Maulana Sha'aki Muhammad Iqtas Sahib Nawar Allahu Marqadahu. The title is Naye Jamo Meena Ata Ho Rahe Hain. Jo Har Dam Khuda Par Fida Ho Rahe Hain فانی بتوں سے جدا ہو رہے ہیں جو ہر دم خدا پر فدا ہو رہے ہیں وہ فانی بتوں سے جدا ہو رہے ہیں وہ خمرِ کوہن تو قوی تر ہے لیکن نئے جام و مینا عطا ہو رہے ہیں وہ خمرِ کوہن تو قوی تر ہے لیکن نئے جام و مینا عطا ہو رہے ہیں جو ہر دم خدا پر فدا ہو رہے ہیں وہ فانی بتوں سے جدا ہو رہے کبھی قلب دے کر کبھی جان دے کر رہے عشق میں با وفا ہو رہے کبھی قلب دے کر کبھی جان دے کر رہے عشق میں با وفا ہو رہے ہیں خوشی اپنی ان کی خوشی پر لٹا کر ہم بیل صدر کو صفا ہو رہے ہیں خوشی اپنی ان کی خوشی پر لٹا کر ہم بیل صدر کو صفا ہو رہے ہیں جو ہر دم خدا پر فدا ہو رہے ہیں وہ فانی بتوں سے جدا ہو رہے ہیں کبھی پی رہے ہیں لہو آرزو خودی با خدا ہو رہے ہیں کبھی پی رہے ہیں لہو آرزو کا مٹا کر خودی با خدا ہو رہے تجھے ہو مبارک یہ عشق کی ندامت نئے باب الفت کے واہ ہو رہے تجھے ہو مبارک یہ عشق کی ندامت تک کہ وہ ہو رہے ہیں جو ہر دم خدا پر فدا ہو رہے ہیں. وہ فانی بتوں سے جدا ہو رہے ہیں. یہ شان کرم ہے کہ نالائق قوم پر کرم ان کے ہر دم عطا ہو رہے ہیں. یہ شان کرم ہے کہ نالائق قوم پر کرم ان کے ہر دم عطا ہو رہے ہیں. محبت کی اختر کرامت تو دیکھو کہ سلطان ہو کر گدا ہو رہے ہیں. محبت کی اختر کرامت تو دیکھو کہ سلطان ہو کر گدا ہو رہے ہیں. جو ہر دم خدا پر فدا ہو رہے ہیں وہ پانی بتوں سے جدا ہو رہے ہیں.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. اما بعد, this beautiful ash'ar, which is actually a great bayan of our honorable ilah Sajjad Sheikh Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, nawwar Allah marqadahu, rumi waqt abrez zamana mujaddid zamana, Hazrat is teaching us that if a person realizes why Allah Ta'ala has given us life, and you spend your life and make an effort in that direction, then every minute of your life will be more enjoyable than the next minute. And if you don't have the right direction, then every minute of life is more difficult than the previous minute. So your Hazrat is explaining that Allah Ta'ala has actually given us life to become the friends of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And when a person works in this direction, and that is why Allah Ta'ala has commanded us how to become the friends of Allah Ta'ala, this is not an easy thing. This is a very, very great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. But Allah Ta'ala has made this path very easy. That Allah Ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. That first of all, realize and recognize who gave us life. Allah Rabbul Izzat. And that is, bring firm iman, bring this conviction, Allah has given me my life, Allah is controlling my life, so who should I give my life to? And how can I give my life to Allah Ta'ala? Allah says, كُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Be with the true righteous servants of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and they will teach you how to get closer and closer to Allah Rabbul Izzat. And when you tread this path, then Hazrat says, نَيَ جَامُ مِنَا عَطَى هُو رَحَا هَي. That every moment of life, what do the world people that are unmindful of Allah Rabbul Izzat, they are engrossed in all haram intoxicants, and they even lose themselves. They don't know who's their mother, who's their wife, who's their daughters. They don't know where they are. They are in a state of napaki. So that is why the friends of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given the tajbih, has given the example of the real wine is the wine of the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. When you get intoxicated with the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, just with the name of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then you'll find that wine is so enjoyable and it is so tasty. But every minute Allah Ta'ala will give you more enjoyment of more stronger wine. That is, the part of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what Allah Rabbul Izzat mentions in the Quran Kareem, that you get the ecstasy in the year after. وَسَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ شَرَابًا تَخُورًا, that when Allah Rabbul Izzat will give you that pure wine, because you made an effort in this direction, in this world, and you stayed away from all the haram entertainment, etc. And how to do this, Hazrat further explained, when you realize Allah gave you your life, then what is the sign of loyalty, appreciation? جو ہر دم خدا پر فدا ہو رہے ہیں وفانی بتوں سے جدا ہو رہا ہے. That every moment now you realize, Allah gave me my life, مقصود من تو ورضائی تو. That oh Allah, you are my object and purpose of life. And what is the, when we say Allah is our object and purpose of life, that we lead a life how Allah Ta'ala wants us to live. And for that we beg Allah Ta'ala, ma'rifat wa muhabbat khud beda. That oh Allah, you grant us your ma'rifat, you grant us your true love. Then a person, every moment of his life, every breath of his, he'll be loyal and sacrificing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you'll see automatically this person, wafani buto se juda ho raha hai. All the perishable idols of this world, automatically he'll be disinclined to it. He won't have time for that also. Not even time for the news and propaganda that make people scared. You will be having the fear, I must not disobey Allah for 1 second. So his fear will be bringing him happiness and bringing him comfort. And other fears that we turning towards, want to listen, what is the announcement, etc. That is all fani, that is all artificial. And those are all idols that takes you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat explains that when you catch the hand of the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they start giving you a glimpse of the marifat of Allah Rabbul Izzat, and when you make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi said, when he sat in the khanqah Hazrat Tanwi rahmatullah alayhi, and when he heard the zikr of Allah ta'ala taking place, he said, naam lete hi nasha sa chaza, zikr mein taasir e dor e jam hai. Said, oh Allah, when we just took your name, naam lete hi nasha sa, I got intoxicated. Then I realized that what is the real enjoyment of life, what is the real wine of this world also, that is the enjoyment of taking the name of Allah. So Ya Hazrat says, wa khamri kuhan to kawitar hai lekin naye jam o meena ata ho raha hai. That when a person just gets an inkling of the marifat of Allah and inclines himself now begging Allah Ta'ala for this love of Allah Ta'ala, and you spend your time as much as you can in the majalis of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the intention that that love that they have got in their heart, it must come into my heart also. And Hazrat says that you will see that the more you attend the majlis with the correct intention to gain the love of Allah Ta'ala, the marifat of Allah, the azmat, then you will see that wine, although it is very strong, but every majlis you come, naye jamo mina ata raha hai. You're getting new goblets of wine, and it is being dished out by the sheikh, the mashayikh. Every time you think we went to the majlis, we heard this. The next time you come, you just hear that this incident Hazrat is mentioning, but you pay attention, you'll see there's a new enjoyment in that example. And a person's heart will be more inclined towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, the more a person turns towards Allah ta'ala, then in now the enjoyment of tilawat, the enjoyment of zikr, the enjoyment of obedience, staying away from sports, etc. All that, this is all new enjoyments you will get. Then you realize that I thought there was enjoyment in outdoor life. No, there's enjoyment in indoor, in the life, in the house of Allah Rabbul Izzat. That's where the enjoyment is. And how to gain this, Hazrat further teaches us, kabhi kalb dekar, kabhi jaan dekar, rahe ishq mein ba wafa ho raha hai. That this is a very great ni'mat of Allah, to get the friendship and the love of Allah Ta'ala, a person will have to crush his heart. And Allah Ta'ala is mentioned in the hadith of Qudsi, our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has informed us, anna inda munkasiratul qulub, that I am with those people who break their hearts. They break their hearts, Allah Ta'ala has put desire in our hearts, فَعَلْهَمَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. We got inclination towards evil, but Allah has given us that break. Use that taqwa and then you see. Just drop that gaze and don't look at that woman walking in the street and see automatically where you have to give your heart and sacrifice your desires. Sometimes you'll have to give your life. And this is, Hazrat is teaching us here. We have got the whole story as we learned from our Shaykh upside down. We are giving our life and sacrificing our deen. Sacrificing the love of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Whereas we're supposed to be giving our heart and our life to protect the deen of Allah and to get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let the world say what they want to. They don't come to the masjid. We have to give our life and heart to come. And then you'll see in the spark of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more Allah ta'ala will make you loyal. Artificially, and this has been happening all the time, the shaitan and his allies will all the time try and make you scared that there's big armies that will attack you, there's sickness that will attack you. We say, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. How Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, how they scared them with big, huge armies. And they said, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. This is what Allah and His Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, that the whole kuffar world will try and get together, and what they want to do is to crush our iman. We have to get connection from the friends of Allah Ta'ala and build our iman. And then a person will realize how to do this. Khushi apni unki khushi par lutakar. Hum ab ahle sifq wa safa ho raha hai. That our desires and our enjoyments and happiness and pleasure, always see if it is in conformity with the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. If it is not, I'll crush my heart. I'll stay away from that. It can be whatever. An invitation for whatever, from the family, whoever. But no, Allah will not be happy. I will stay away from that. And sadly today, one sad condition of the ummah, in the trying times, just saying hello, taking videos, looking at old snaps of our great-grandfathers, etc., which is totally haram. We are sending that around. And like Hazrat says, Allah's rahmat is right at us, but we are busy in haram. So a person should realize that as much as we think it's sentimental, Allah is unhappy, I will sacrifice that. Burn all these haram albums, etc. Then a person will see, ab ahli sidq wa safa ho raha hai. Now you will become among the ahli sidq, that is the sadiqeen, the true righteous servants of Allah. Allah Ta'ala will purify that heart, and the love of Allah Ta'ala will come in the heart. Then Hazrat explained so beautifully in another poem, guna chhodna asaan nahi hoga, mazedar hoga. Then to leave out sin won't be just easy, it will be enjoyable. You'll enjoy burning all those old things and you'll be making istighfar in tawbah. Allah give me first of all tawfiq and all of us that we realize this. And for this Hazrat explained, it's not so easy. To talk is very easy, to listen is much more easy. But the effort to do it, as it says, kabhi pi rahe lahu arzuka, mitakar khudi ba khuda ho raha hai. That sometimes you'll have to drink the blood of your desires. That you got desires in different ways. If you're doing that, then wiping out all those things, then shaitan will put in your heart, hey, you are a great buzurg now. Now you're becoming very close to Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat says, mitakar khudi. Now you'll have to annihilate yourself. It's not me. It is only Allah Ta'ala's kindness, Allah's fadl, Allah's karam. Allah is giving us tawfiq that we stay away from sin. Then, ba khuda ho raha hai. Then you'll become the person who is connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, shaitan is too shrewd. He can't get us directly into open sin. He'll get us into very subtle sin. In the name of deen, in the name of fame, etc. And he will fool us. So a person has to be connected to the friends of Allah Ta'ala and continuously, the spark of the love of Allah, till we reach Allah Rabbul Izzat, till the last breath, we have to be holding the hands of the friends of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala with tawbah, istighfar. Then Hazrat says, when you realize this, tujhe ho mubarak ye ashke nadamat, nahe babu ulfat ke wah ho raha hai. That as you progress in the spark of the love of Allah, you will realize, how did I spend my life? Even the friends of Allah, even their ibadat is of such a quality. But every ibadat of theirs, they realize, we didn't spend it in the right way. If Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us this, that after Salah, the greatest ibadat, make istighfar, make tawbah. Taught the greatest ummati, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi, that oh Allah, you gave me the opportunity, but I didn't spend it right. So askena bin nadamat, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that kaleelam ma yahja'oon, wa bil asharium yastaghfiroon. The friends of Allah, they sleep very little. But at the time when Sehri is coming to an end, they don't say, Alhamdulillah, we were in tahajjud. They're crying and they're begging for istighfar. That, oh Allah, I didn't spend my night properly. In that way, Allah says that tears that come out, even if the tear doesn't come out directly, but in the heart, that grief that is there, naye babu ulfat ho raha hai, that now Allah is opening new chapters of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more a person makes an effort in the path of taqwa, the more Allah ta'ala gives a person what is called basirat, that foresight. You're able to see the dhoka of shaitan, what foolishness they're trying to spread in the world, and you won't fall in the trap of getting scared. You'll hold firm onto the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hazrat says that this is all only the favor of Allah. Yashan-e karam hai ke nalai ko par, karam unke har dam ata ho raha hai. Then a person never ever thinks, it's my effort, it's my ability, I got up middle of the night, etc. A person will realize, I'm nalaik, I'm just worth nothing. I'm not even worth to be even thinking of the name of Allah, where Allah is allowing me to take His name and to come in the majlis of these great personalities. Like Maulana Ruma Wadada Shaykh explained, if a person thinks that I'm nalaik, I'm totally useless, and you really think that, then Hazrat says, just come in the company of the likes, those who Allah Ta'ala is happy with, the sadiqeen, then see how Allah Ta'ala will favor you. And Allah, har dam, now you will realize, every split moment, whatever I'm doing, it is only Allah's special favor. Otherwise, where I can't even lift a finger, I can't even open my mouth to say, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, these are all the great, great gifts of Allah Ta'ala. Without the friends, the company of our mashayikh, our sheikh, and our mashayikh, we wouldn't know this. We think no, outdoor life is enjoyable, etc., and we are wasting our life in that. No, a person now will realize that every split moment, it is only Allah's favor. And every split moment, only Allah's name will be on a person's tongue. Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, Bismillah, La ilaha illallah, Allah give me tawfiq and all of us tawfiq. And then finally Hazrat says that all this, what you are, how you will see all this coming into your life, and you yourself will be shocked. Muhabbat ki akhtar karamat to dekho. That oh akhtar, Hazrat is addressing himself but making us realize that people look at, you want to see karamat, you want to see miracles. Look at the real miracle of spending time with the friends of Allah Ta'ala. And one drop of Allah's love start coming in your heart. Now you see your direction will be changed. You can be who now in the world. You can be the state president. You can be owning a country. You can be ruling the world. But sultan hokar gada ho raha hai. That you'll be a king. But now you'll become an ordinary mendicant. You'll realize, I'm the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The kings of kings, Sayyidina Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us abdiyat, the humbleness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we see what this, when Allah ta'ala pulls you towards Him, or the drop of Allah comes in a majlis, it just touches your heart, then you'll see, you'll forget all the luxuries of this world. Your mind will be changed, like Sultan Ibrahim ibn Adam rahmatullah alayh. He realized, what am I wasting my time in my palace? Let me sacrifice this, I'll go and sit at the river bank and make muraqabah of Allah Rabbul Izzat. And then what honor Allah Ta'ala gave him, that he became the great sheikh of the time. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ahmaduhu wa nasalli ala Rasulil Kareem. Amma ba'd. This chapter we were doing from Hayatul Muslimin, Kitab of Mulana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi, explaining how can the Muslims save themselves from all problems and difficulties. So this chapter was on the rights of the masjid, fulfilling the rights of the masjid, erection of masajid. Few other ahadith. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever erects a masjid for Allah Ta'ala with sincerity, Allah Ta'ala will erect for him a mansion in Jannah far greater than the masjid. Note the quality and size of the palace which Allah Ta'ala will bestow on the one contributing towards the erection of a masjid will be in accordance to one's sincerity. Another hadith, Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah Ta'ala will erect a palace of pearls and emeralds in Jannah for one who erects with halal earnings a house for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Note, the sanctity of the masjid demands that only lawful and wholesome wealth and materials be expended in its erection. Lawful in this context applies to all things which go into the erection of the masjid. Nothing haram should be employed in the masjid. In some places, especially rural areas, people build masjids on lands which belong to others. When the owner objects, the builders of the masjid take offense and brand him as being against Islam. If the owner happens to be a non-Muslim, the builders of the masjid consider it a great act of thawab in confronting him and refusing to hand over his land. When the owner happens to be a non-Muslim, the errant Muslims responsible for the structure consider their dispute and fighting against the non-Muslim landlord as a conflict between kufr and Islam. This attitude of the Muslims is unjust and sinful. Remember well that a structure reared on the land of a person without his consent is not a masjid. The Sharia does not accept such a building erected on usurped ground as a masjid. Next hadith, Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah narrates, there was an African woman who used to sweep the masjid. One night she passed away. In the morning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed of her death. He said, why did you not inform me? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then accompanied by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, went to her grave and recited takbir there. That is, he made dua for her. In one narration, it is said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her, that is, he asked the dead woman who was buried, this is one of his miracles of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which act did you discover to be of great significance? She replied, sweeping the masjid. This hadith indicates the great significance of caring for the masjid. Even the simple task of sweeping the masjid was an act honored greatly by Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The importance and significance of this act of sweeping rendered by the little known African lady was such that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam voiced his displeasure at not being informed immediately after her death. Her service of sweeping the masjid was so noble that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam especially went with a group of Sahaba radiallahu anhum to a grave. Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regard the service of sweeping the masjid most highly. But alas, nowadays people consider this task lowly and below their dignity. Hazrat Abu Qatada Qurstafa narrates a lengthy hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, removing dust particles and waste from the masjid is the mehr of large-eyed damsels of Jannah. Removing dust particles and waste from the masjid is the mehr of large-eyed damsels of Jannah, the whores of Jannah. Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever removes from the masjid any offensive item, Allah Ta'ala will in return erect for him a palace in Jannah. Whoever removes from the masjid any offensive item, Allah Ta'ala will in return erect for him a palace in Jannah. In the last hadith, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us to build masjids in all neighborhoods, and he ordered us to maintain the masajid clean. The existence of masajid in all neighborhoods facilitates the regular and easy performance of Jamaat Salat by all residing in the neighborhood. In this way, everyone can acquire the maximum benefits of Salah and other advantages attendant to Jamaat Salat. Since masjids are places of sanctity, nothing impure should be taken in. Impure garments and people in the state of impurity should not enter the masjid. Regular cleaning of the masjid also comes within the scope of the command stated in the above mentioned hadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to make amal.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تلك الدار الآخرة نجعلها للذين لا يريدون علوا في الأرض ولا فسادا والعاقبة للمتقين. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. For our protection, we shouldn't forget, inshallah, our three quls every morning and every evening after Fajr and after Maghrib. To read a kitab on Sirat, every house we should read a kitab on Sirat, even just for 2-3 minutes, it will be great, great protection. And continuous recitation of Durood Sharif. If we read the 40 Duroods, very good. Otherwise, just reading Durood Sharif, this will help us tremendously. In this ayat-e-kareema, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made it clear, as in many other ayat of the Quran Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained it in detail, and Allah reward the ulama, they've written complete kitabs, volumes and volumes on this matter, that the real life is the life of the akhirat. Allah has sent us in this world, not for this world's sake, but here is just to prepare for the akhirah. Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah. Dunya is a farm, a tillage for the akhirah. What you plant in your farm, the crop you will harvest in the akhirah. So this is the place to do our farming for the akhirah, not to gain that crop here in this dunya. It is a harvest that we do, we plant, etc., and then we must harvest it and we will get the fruit in the akhirat. If we plant good actions, we will get good in the akhirat. And if unfortunately we plant bad here, we commit sins, etc., then we will get the harms of it in the akhirat. So yeah, this is a farm and it is what we are going to plant. My Ustad Hafiz Muhammad Sallu Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said that if a person plants weeds, how can he expect roses to grow? So if we are planting weeds here in this dunya's life of ours, committing gunas, etc., disobeying Allah Ta'ala, going against the sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whether it's in our dressing, whether it's in our homes, whether it's in our lifestyle, and then in the akhirat we expect the wonderful roses there. That is the height of stupidity and folly of a person. First of all, nobody plants weeds. Weeds grow on their own. And a person has to make a lot of effort to remove the weeds. Even strong plants, like for example the kukuyu lawn, which is very strong on its own, but weeds overpower it also. If we don't remove the weeds, that lawn won't exist, and the weeds will overpower it. So weeds have to be removed, and weeds are also a thing which grow on their own. Just like that, desire for guna comes on its own. It has been placed in us. Our inclination goes towards guna, towards the temptations of dunya and all these things. And then those weeds which are there have to be removed. Otherwise, very strong iman will also be overpowered by this weed. If we don't make effort on our iman and we don't remove the weeds, then this weeds will overpower this iman also. Consequently, we find people with lot of knowledge also. And how much knowledge, but that weeds, when that overpowered, then it overpowered this knowledge also. And even people with sohbet of big buzurgs, and for years and years, but when weeds, we didn't remove the weeds, then it overpowered that also. So therefore it is very essential that we be conscious and remove the weeds all the time, and realize that this world is not our purpose and object of life. The real life is the life of the akhirat. And for that Allah tabaraka ta'ala has sent us here. And in fact we were supposed to be those people that we should be informing, teaching and guiding the rest of the world towards that. But unfortunately we are following in their way. They have become totally devoted to the dunya. We also with our houses must match their houses also. Our lifestyle must match their lifestyle. Whereas there was a time when the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had made an effort And then, like it, all the other countries were not Muslim countries. Saudi itself, Hijaz, Muqaddas, this was all ruled by the Kuffar, the Mushrikeen. Medina Sharif was ruled by other people. But what an effort they made that today we know them as Islamic lands. And then further away, Yemen, Egypt, Syria, these were not Muslim countries, they were Christian countries. But what an effort the Sahaba made, and then the people came, and in huge, huge numbers they came into the fold of Islam. Because the true teachings, but today we unfortunately, we haven't got time. As somebody said very nicely, that about less than 2 years, Corona is around, but the whole world has heard about Corona. And everyone is afraid of Corona. And everyone wants to take his precautions according to his thinking from this Corona. Whereas, La ilaha illallah, we were supposed to make that so common. And we were supposed to show them the reality of La ilaha illallah practically in our lives also. And in our words also, actions also. That everyone would be desirous to accept La ilaha illallah. We see what does La ilaha illallah, the power that Allah alone is the doer. The River Nile, which used to flow, and the pagan belief was that they had to sacrifice every year one of the most beautiful girls dressed the most beautifully and laden with all type the best jewelry. They had to sacrifice it to the River Nile, then it will flow and it will irrigate their land. Muslims with La ilaha illallah, they said this is impossible. This cannot happen. The River Nile is no god of its own. And it has got no power of its own. And say, when they inform Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, imagine where the iman was. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu wrote a letter to the River Nile that if you flow on your own and you are a power of your own, we are not in need of you. And if you are flowing by the will of Allah, then flow. And since then till today, the River Nile is flowing. And it hasn't, it irrigates the lands all along, all the time. And what a river from where to where. It is mentioned, it is one of the rivers of Jannat. So this power of La ilaha illallah. So this is what we have to teach the people of the world, that Akhirat is the real life. Akhirat and Dunya has been mentioned in the Hadith, that they are like two co-wives. And we know when a person has got two wives, if you please the other one gets upset. If you please that one, this one gets upset. That is how dunya and akhirat is also. If you please your dunya, your akhirat is upset with you. If you please your akhirat, your dunya is upset with you. And then then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives the advice. That give up, prefer and make happy that which is eternal and forever over that which is temporary. Instead of making your dunya happy, the people of dunya responding and doing things as what they are telling, they pass some criticisms, they pass some remarks, etc. And we become frightened, or we also want to please them, we start speaking like them also. No, think of your akhirat. That is forever. Yeah, you will please the world for a little while. And that will be also all on falsehood. We have to make also today one very wrong notion is unity. Unity on wrong and batil is no unity whatsoever. Unity is on truth, on what is right. وَأَتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ Unite on the rope of Allah. Not reunite on batil. People want us to unite on wrong things. But if you tell them, unite with us on the right things, then they say you are breaking the unity. But they are the ones who are breaking. Unity is on the truth, on what Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul, that is Haqqul Mubin, the truth and the truth which is made very manifest. On that we have to unite. So the Akhirat, so give preference to Akhirat. That is the eternal and everlasting life. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that I am afraid of for my ummah of Wuhan, not of Wuhan. Where does disease start at? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say that I'm afraid of my ummah of Wuhan, that the disease is going to spread from there and the whole world going to be overtaken, but of Wuhan. And we can see the knowledge of Arabic, which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the Arabs who were the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who were very eloquent in the Arabic, but they also, they asked, what is the meaning of Wuhan? Hubbud dunya wa karahatul maut, amongst other definitions which are given. The love of this dunya and fear of akhirat. That is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feared for us. And today, unfortunately, those very things have overtaken us. And the love of dunya, we don't want to die. And we see the life of the Sahaba, how they loved death. They preferred the life of the Akhirah. For anything, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam passed at the young age of 63, he passed away. And it's a miracle, open miracle of what was achieved by that age. From where to where, it's an open miracle. But anyway, at that age, when finally Allah Ta'ala asked, do you prefer staying in this dunya or coming? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Allah, you are my great friend, indicating I prefer to be by you. The akhirat was always preferred than this dunya. So that is what we also should prefer. This dunya, what is temptation? And the one reason is because we haven't seen akhirat. If we see akhirat, a person who is living in a little tin shanty, and then somebody builds a palace for him, and until he hasn't seen the palace and is doubting about the palace, he will prefer his tin shanty. But when he sees the palace and he knows that these people are not joking, it's for me. Even if you want to try and stop him, you won't be able to stop him. He will just, this dunya is not even a tin shanty compared to akhirat. It's not even a little grass hut compared to akhirat. And because we haven't seen akhirat, or rather that we don't want to see it, Allah has shown it to us in the Quran Sharif, over and over. How many clear ayat of the Quran Sharif of what that life will be. What enjoyable life, what beautiful life, what a life of luxury and comfort and honor and ease, respect, everything Allah has kept there. And Allah has mentioned it in the Quran Sharif, and we all read Quran Sharif. So we should pay attention to these ayat, and then we will realize that this house of mine, whatever it might be, is nothing whatsoever compared to akhirat. And then there is not like just we heard now about the masjid. Just picking up dirt from the masjid, Allah builds a palace for you in Jannah. Any little, and we just walk past it. We have the opportunity so much. Always, something falls always. And also, it can be also inspiration. One of the special qualities which are mentioned of Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayhi, any little dirt you should see, you should pick it up from the masjid. One of his special qualities which are mentioned. So anyway, to pick up, to build a masjid also. And building a masjid doesn't mean that we have to build the whole masjid or we have to build it with our own hand. But just whatever we contributed, we gave money for the value of one window, one brick, anything, one tap. Allah won't give us one tap in Jannah or one brick in Jannah, but a whole mansion and far more superior than the masjid which we have built here. The houses, the palaces which Allah is going to build for us there. So that is the real life to prepare. All the time to see that how is my time being spent. Fortunate is that person. In fact, it should be a natural thing. When we regard ourselves as intelligent people, as constructive people, that how am I spending my time? Anything a person is doing, he wants to invest money. He will think a lot and ask a lot, where am I going to get the best return? He's not going to put it somewhere where he thinks he's going to lose all his money. It's out of the question. Where he's going to get very small returns or hardly any returns, he won't want to. He's looking for the place where he gets the best return. And with the least effort, And that best investment, our time that we have to invest, our money that we are investing, our intelligence that we are investing, all given by Allah Ta'ala, where are we investing it? For this dunya and no returns. When we go from this dunya, go empty-handed. We know of the instances of the king of the world who put ordered that my hands must be put out of my janazah. So the world can see that the man who was owning the whole world, not ruling the whole world only, but owning the whole world, that man is going today empty-handed to the qabr. So that is why the reality is quite. So where are we making our investment, our time? Where are we? And today forget making it in useless pursuits, etc. Useless things like sports, useless things like following kuffar sports by being ardent supporters of any cricket team, any soccer team, becoming like mad people over certain players, etc. And we regard it as something like a great achievement. And if somebody talks about deen and sacrifice for deen, we regard that person as stupid, backwards. He doesn't know what's happening in this world. A person who's sitting in a masjid all the time, a person who doesn't take interest in this worldly life, etc., we look down upon that person. So the reality is that the akhirat is the real life. So that is what we, Allah Ta'ala has put us here for, that real life of the akhirat. So we should never keep that, forget that. And for that, we should be preparing also our investment of our time. See how much, like if we just got a minute, even half a minute also, to read Subhanallah. One Subhanallah is more superior than the whole world and what it contains. So, La ilaha illallah, one durood sharif, third kalima, Tawbah, Istighfar, what valuable things Allah has given us. And we all know, Tawbah, Istighfar, everyone knows. Third Kalima, everyone knows. Durood Sharif, the most valuable things. When in the Akhirat we will go there, and we will see that we had these opportunities and we did not prepare. And we knew it also. Everyone, you don't have to be a big alim, allama, a big hafiz, qari to know these things. Everyone knows these things. And just by reading that, Allahu Akbar, one madrasa in India, whenever they should get chutti off and the student should start going out, then this person, he was a crippled person, handicapped person. He should come on that little, whatever you can call it, a piece of plank with the four wheels. He should sit and push himself, because he was handicapped, crippled. He should come to the gate of the madrasa. And there he should come, and he shouldn't beg for anything, no food, no money, he should come there. Students also surprised, every day he's coming here at this time. They informed the ustad. The ustad said, okay, when he comes, call us. Call the ustad. When he came, asked him, why you come here? You're not, you look like a very handicapped, poor person, beggar. But you're not asking for food, you don't ask for money, nothing, you just come here every day. He said he spent 3 days in Jamaat with Maulana Yusuf Khandelwi, Rahmatullahi. And in that Maulana Yusuf, then amongst the advices he was giving, he said, if you can't do anything, just look at ulama. That is a great, great ibadat also. So he said, I come here for no other purpose, that the ulama, the students who are becoming alims, just to see them. And that is such a great ibadat. It is mentioned one person will be presented on the day of Qiyamah, and this person will have absolutely no good deeds, only gunas. And on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will look for an excuse to forgive every person, and not look for our faults. If we fault, all of us got the endless faults. So Allah Ta'ala will ask that, hey, did he have any alim as a friend? No alim as a friend. Did he ever sit in a bayan of an alim? No. Did he ever see an alim? No. Did an alim ever see him? No. Then find detailed questions like this. Then did he have a friend whose friend was an alim, who had some contact with an alim? said yes, he said, okay, for that go. You are forgiven also. So anyway, Allah has made it so easy. So our investment for Akhirat, we can do in so many ways. And there are so many things, but we are so stupid, really. We think we are so intelligent, but we are wasting our money where and where. On what and what useless type of clothing, just for the name of fashion. Like we know, which we mention always, for torn jeans we pay more. For half socks we pay more now. For pet jeans, and we're thinking this is an achievement. Whereas if we gave that to somebody for some dini work, some dini thing, a poor person, we had a well dug for somebody, or anything else, or whatever little good we could have done, how much won't that be beneficial? So the real investment, we think of investments also, Allah gave us little more money than what we need, we have got saved up money, I must make an investment. Really the real investment Allah give us all understanding is to spend it somewhere for Akhirat. A masjid is getting built, give it there. The well is being dug, give it there. How many people are so desperate today? Food, the bare basic, so many people. So we spend it, that is our real investment. And that investment Allah promises, not only in the Akhirat the returns, but in this dunya also. And such people, like for example, we heard of our old people who came first year beginning to the country, and when they used to order goods from India, etc., UK, and they had to take out insurance to make sure that the goods don't come safe. By insurance, they just want to pay, they promise to pay you out. But when the time comes, whether they pay out or not, they find the smallest loophole, and then they don't pay out also. But so what they used to do, they shouldn't take out insurance, but they should feed the poor with that money. And with that goods used to come and you sell like hotcakes. The goods, you shouldn't just lie in the shop. The goods used to sell, and with ease everything used to carry on. So Allah give us that right understanding. So the real life is the life of the Akhirah. And the other one which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feared, one was Hubbud Dunya wa Karahatul Maut. The fear of mort. Whereas this should be also alien to a mu'min. Not only these times, in fact one of the conditions that in this pandemic, in this time of this virus, to die as a shaheed, many people are dying. Allah give them all the martaba of shahadat. Ulama have written the words of the great, great sahaba and the tabi'een, that a person, happily he accepts it. That he accepts it happily. That and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has written, Allah says that Allah has fixed his quota of shuhada. So Allah makes various. One time somebody asked Maulana Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi in Markaz, when a lot of riots were taking place in India, and always where the Muslims are in an affluent position, good position, riots take place there, burn their shops and their businesses, etc. So all this riot, so Hazratji said that Allah has got a fixed quota of shuhada every year, and we're not making jihad. So Allah is still taking his quota in this way. Now when they are dying like this, he's taking his quota of shuhada. We think harm has come, but they are gone into enjoyment. And we are all hearing of many people who are passing away now, passing away as shuhada. So we should accept mort. A mu'min shouldn't be afraid of mort. Mort is tuhfatul mu'min, is a gift of a believer. Mort is al-jasru yusalu al-habib ila al-habib, a bridge which joins the lover to his beloved. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless us with this understanding. And also it is clear in our teachings that if a person doesn't fear Allah ta'ala, Allah puts the fear of everything in that person. Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, these Jews particularly, they don't have fear of Allah Ta'ala, they don't believe in Allah Ta'ala, they believe so incorrectly everything, so the amount of fear, So all the security checks at the airport, that even for a nail clipper, they're afraid of that also. That you're going to do something with the small things. The water you take, they got fear with that also. Everything's fear. And today the fear of the pandemic. And that is taqdeer. Allah Ta'ala, right, in the Quran Sharif, how clearly Allah says that the people used to warn the munafiqeen, the others, that don't go in jihad, you'll die there. Stay at home, stay by us. Allah says that for whom what is written, wherever you are, fi burujim mushayyada, strong towers you can be in. When mort is written, mort is going to come to you there. And we see now how many people, when the lockdown, the first lockdown, didn't leave the house. They just stayed put in the house, not moving out. But mort was written for them, it came and it got them there also. So that is written, that is taqdeer. And that Allah has written. And 15 Shaban, everyone, whoever was going to die in this year, whether on the 16th of Shaban he was going to die, whenever it were, his mort is going to come. And nobody, and if those people who want to, all the protocols, tell them to save those people who have died. Or a person who is fixed to die, who can save that person? They can't save them. And the most places people die are in the hospital. Mortuaries are with hospitals. So hospital is shifa khana, where you get shifa. But the number of people that die there, that they to make the mortuaries there. That they are dying mostly there. And you're going there for your shifa. So there's a fear of death is a thing also that Allah Ta'ala saves us from. And it's not easy, but the more we have also the love of Allah, that is the purpose we come here. We develop that love of Allah, then a person will be eager to go and meet Allah Ta'ala. And he won't be sad there. And when till now the Palestinians, the Afghanis, anyone who becomes shaheed, they distribute sweetmeats. They celebrate it. That we got a shaheed, they are proud, our child is a shaheed, my father is a shaheed, so and so. Allah Ta'ala bless us with these realities also. Today we are so frightened that a person, we talk so much about Iman and Yaqeen, and then we go for ghost, for example, and one dog just makes whoa whoa, and then we say how we jump, and where then is our Iman? Or one dog just makes woe woe on the TV, and then we close our masjid. We do this, we do that. Just one little bluff of a small puppy, and so weak we are. Whereas we should, our masajid, other places are the super structures and spiritual hospitals for all the shifa. For all the cure are the masajid, they are the real places. These are not the places of the virus, these are the places for the cure. But today everything we are seeing, everything upside down. May Allah Tabaruk Ta'ala. So the fear of all these things, the fear of the pandemic, the fear of the police, etc. The fear of just criticism of people. People going to call you that you committed suicide, you didn't take precaution. That you're a murderer because you didn't allow this. Just because of what they are saying, we are getting frightened. And what Allah has said, and the warnings in the Quran and in the Hadith, that we don't pay any attention to. So Allah Tabaruk wa Ta'ala protect our Iman in these trying times. And that we take our Sharia has allowed us precaution, we take our precaution, but be whatever Allah has decreed, that is what is going to happen. And that we accept it wholeheartedly. And these kind of conditions always came in the Ummat also. It's nothing new, it's not only today, not in the Ummat, in the world. 100 years ago was the Spanish flu. It was also, and really in these pandemics, people were dying much more than what they are dying now. And presently now, statistics, the lowest number of all many other motor car accidents, people dying of alcohol, people dying of cancer, that goes into the millions. And the people who are dying of this pandemic is the lowest figure still. People who are dying of all other causes, death is written by Allah Ta'ala, outward causes, which are the pandemic is the lowest number still. But today we just overtaken by it all. And how many motorcar accidents, how many people? Heart attacks, how many people are dying? Lot of people are dying of other things. And if you get saved of the pandemic, doesn't mean you're going to live forever. What is written is going to come. And if you wear the mask, if that is going to save you, then why social distancing? And if that is going to save you, then why the vaccine? And if the vaccine is there that is going to give you protection, then why wear the mask then? Hey, all these things. And really they say it's social distancing, but what it boils down to is religious distancing. Only for deen we must. Even in the masjid when we're socializing, people who promote this protocol so much, iftari in Ramadan, just Ramadan, hey, they're sitting together and eating. No mask they are eating. They are socializing. And then when they have come for their deen, now namaz, immediately, now they are distancing. So it is religious distancing. And if it was social distancing, then by law, all maternity homes should be closed by now. Eh? There should be no babies born. If there was social distancing, then how will babies come about then? If there was the social distancing, by law they should have said, no more maternity, because anyone who comes to for delivery, they must first go to jail, or they must pay bail, and they must come out. So it's all a big hoax. Allah, let us understand, make our iman, protect our iman, and Allah Ta'ala, save God us, and everyone else, let all see things in the right light, and let all come onto the right thing. And what has happened, for who is written, is written. And who has to die, is going to pass away, is going to leave this dunya. And in any case, if we're not going to die now in the pandemic, we're going to die afterwards. Or even now we're going to die with something else. This young couple that who just returned from a honeymoon, and the girl got electrocuted. The husband went and saved her. He also passed away. So what is written for us is Allah grant all Jannah, make it easy for all there, and Allah give all Shifa. But our Iman, Islam, let us be very careful and protect it of our families and who we can influence. That is also important for us. Also, just one little announcement, that this one bill the government wants to pass, which will curtail almost all freedom of all people, particularly religious and generally all. You can't say a word against the state. What the state will tell you, you will be robots of the state. What they tell you to speak, you can only speak that. Any imam can't give any bayan more stricter than what Saudi was on their imams also, or is on their imams. Everyone will be controlled. So there are various organizations that have prepared, and by the government, the numbers count. How many more people object to it, if their numbers are more greater, then they won't be able to pass it. So it is every one of us individually, and whoever with our jamaats also, or that is the masjid jamaats that we have, or any association as an organization also, we should object to it, and as individuals also. And various all organizations have got this ready on their website. It's just a matter of us to, like, I don't know the procedure, find out what the procedure is, but I think by 30th June is the cut-off date. So each one of us, our families, whoever we can get to, object to it, we must object. Otherwise, they're very, very sinister. All things are being passed in the world and are taking place. So whatever we can do, we should try and do, inshallah. Allah give us all tawfiq.